today, just a few minutes of your time, on the fruits of this worship-based transformational prayer. Now, again, I know that some of you are wondering, this is kind of hard for me to understand. Well, I don't want that. I want it to be easy for you to understand. And fortunately, we're going to have in 2 weeks a message that will make it very easy for you to understand what this is. All we're really asking is that we get closer to God. We get in a closer relationship with Him. We draw close to Him. We come not so much to open our mouths and let His ears be working, but for our ears to be working and let Him open His mouth. And He does that through His Word. So we pray, and we pray with an open Bible, reading passages that the Lord directs us to as we're doing that. And there's so many good passages in Scripture. We're doing what some call face-to-face praying. It is almost as if you're face-to-face with the Lord. Now, we know that face-to-face with the Lord, if you come into all the glory of the Lord and all the splendor, you couldn't stand it. But it is a way of saying that we are so close to Him that we're on a face-to-face relationship with Him. And then here, I think, is what sums it up. We're going to God, not asking Him to do for us, which we do so often, and we spend probably 90% of our prayers asking God to do for us. We go to God asking Him, what does He want us to do for Him that will further His kingdom here on earth? So there are some fruits that come from this. There are 5 to be specific. They're very easy to remember. When we pray like this, the first thing that happens is God is glorified. We recognize God at work because we have joined Him in that work through our prayers. Our hearts are sensitive to His presence, His power, His purposes. Our lips, they are free. Our lips are free to recognize Him as a source of all good things. And that's something we don't do enough of. We don't give God enough credit for the good things of life. Our souls are eager to cry out what Jay just read to you. Not to us, Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. To people who do not pray, everything is a coincidence that has little recognition of God at work in it. For people who do pray, and listen to this very carefully, everything is a coincident, C-O-I-N-C-I-D-E-N-T, because we have joined the Lord in His work through the privilege of prayer. So with us as a team, these incidents happen that came through prayer with us in that partnership with the Lord. And that means that what? God's going to get the thanks and God's going to get the credit for what happens. So what happens in worship-based prayer, this transformational prayer? It means that God is glorified. And in the process, you are changed because you're not giving the glory to yourself. You're giving the glory to God. Secondly, we are sanctified. Don't hear that word much anymore. I suspect you could go to a church today and not hear that word at all. It's a very important word with a powerful meaning. It's very easy to remember. Just remember, when you say the word sanctified, you're set apart. You are set apart for the glory of God. You are set apart to Him. It means that God is working through me. He's working around me. He's working in me to make me more like who? Him. More like Jesus. More holy. And the greatest gift, perhaps, of transforming prayer is that praying Christians, while we're not perfect, I'm not saying we're perfect, but we're growing every day in such a way that the more we pray, the more we act like Jesus, think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, the more we're being like Jesus in our lives, and the more we're serving like Jesus. People know that we love Jesus because we're that close. Our prayers have brought us that close, our prayer life. So we see that God and Christ are glorified. We are sanctified. We are set apart to Him. Thirdly, our church is edified. That's another big word, edified. Meaning what? Well, the word edifice means a building of imposing size, a huge building. Now, Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." The Amplified Version says it this way, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice or a great building, rise higher and higher as you pray in the Holy Spirit." And so, by doing this, we have an edified church. Now, what does that mean, you've got an edified church? What does an edified church look like? I mean, that's a fair question. Throwed out a big word. Why not give you an answer? It means that the lives, the families, the marriages, and the ministries of that church are built up, they're made strong, they're made healthy. Why? Because people have been doing biblical praying. They've been praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. They've been praying face to face with the Lord, one on one, and the church is having these ministries and families and individuals being stronger and stronger in the Lord, living more like Him and looking more like Him in the way that they live each day of their lives, and the church is healthy. Now, you can say one thing. Where there are problems in a church, you can almost bet that there hasn't been enough prayer in that church, and especially this kind. The fourth thing is the world is mystified. The world is mystified. What does the word mystified mean? This is probably the best word to describe me. I'm mystified. It means confused, puzzled, cannot understand. Over the years, there has been so many discussions on how do we reach the lost? How do we reach the unchurched? We have wondered what influences the hearts of unbelievers who come to our church. What speaks directly to them? And 1 Corinthians 14:25 might be the only verse in the New Testament that speaks directly to the experience of an unbeliever coming into a church service. In essence, what this verse says is that the Spirit is working among God's people, the truth is being proclaimed and honored in their midst, and it says when the unbeliever sees all that in the lives of the believers and the secrets of his hearts are revealed. And so, this is, by the way, from Scripture, this is the verse. And so, as the secrets of his heart are revealed, after he sees God at work in the people, in the church, he falls down on his face and he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. He is so shocked. He is so brought back by what he's seen at the work of God in the church and the people there living the truth and the truth being proclaimed and Jesus in the spirit of each of those people. It's a clear picture, this verse, of the manifest presence of Christ among his people. It is a church so filled with the Holy Spirit that when an unbeliever comes in and he sees the Holy Spirit at work in such a way, it's just going to knock him down because he knows this is for real. The reason I say that, if you will look at the early disciples who filled Jerusalem with their doctrine and turned the world upside down, that's Acts 5:28 and Acts 17:6, they truly mystified the religious people of the day. Now, when I say religious, I'm not talking about the Christians. I'm talking about those people who thought they kept all the laws and did all this and did all that and did not believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. They were puzzled. They were confused by the way these early Christians acted. To give you the proof of that, when the Jewish leaders questioned Peter and John, here's what it said. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and that they were untrained, they marveled. They couldn't believe it. And they realized, now here's what it says, they, these religious people, this religious clique that did not know Jesus, they realized that these two, that Peter and John, had been with the Lord. It says that right in that they had been with Jesus. It says that right there in Acts. And they marveled at that because they knew something was different about them. Now I want to read you a quote from a gentleman I respect a great deal, Daniel Henderson, who is a professor at Liberty University. And I thought this was so good, and listen carefully. Listen, brothers and sisters, the world is not transformed. The world is not changed by relevant Christians. The world is not changed by strategic Christians. The world is not changed by visionary Christians. The world is not changed by leadership savvy Christians. The world is not changed by wealthy Christians or attractive Christians or educated Christians or active Christians or articulate Christians. Now he says all these are interesting and might be helpful on occasion, especially if you want to build a big religious organization and especially if you want to sell books, if you want to do those things. But he says ultimately, the world is changed, here we go, by sanctified, set-apart Christians whom the life of Jesus becomes a powerful manifestation. In other words, the life of Jesus is showing through you. All that you do, all that you say, the way you act, the way you think, Jesus is coming through and others are noticing it. As Paul says, for it is Christ who commanded light to shine in darkness, who has shown it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here's that precious verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. So what he's saying here is that people who are changed by Jesus will change the world. We need to remember that. That's what this praying is all about, this transformational praying. People who are changed by Jesus will change the world. That's very easy to remember. Changed by Jesus, you change the world. And so this is something so important for us to know, that the world is mystified. The world is confused when they see people live what they believe, as some Christians, in fact, many Christians do, but we need more and more to do more and more of it so that others may take notice of Jesus in our lives. And finally, here's what happens now. You've done all this. You've got Jesus being glorified. You've got us being sanctified. The church being edified. The world is mystified at our actions. But what happens? The enemy is notified. Notified. Look out, Satan. Look out. See, Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't have all those qualities that God has. Now, he's supernatural. And yes, he's powerful. And yes, he's supported by a host of demonic forces. But he cannot read our thoughts. What he can do, though, is observe our behavior. He can eavesdrop on our conversations. And he can implement a strategy to shoot those fiery darts at us based on where he understands about where we are vulnerable and what our habits are. But when we are in the habit of worship-based, transforming prayer, close-to-close prayer, one-on-one with Jesus prayer, drawing closer and closer to Him every day of our lives, when we are engaged in that, Satan's efforts to defeat, to discourage, to distract, or destroy us are met with the reality that our focus is on Christ and the victory that comes through that close relationship with Him. My friends, there is victory in Jesus. And when Satan sees us that close to Jesus, he is notified that we are on fire for Christ. And you better believe he watches us every day of our lives. Satan sees us praying. Satan sees us trusting God. Satan sees us becoming more and more like Jesus through our prayers. And guess what happens to him? And I am tickled to death. He is discouraged and he is dismayed because he finds out those people are hooked on Jesus. He has put on notice that we are more and more and more being transformed, being changed to be like Jesus and make an impact on this world for Him. These are the fruits of this worship-based prayer, transforming prayer, prayer that changes us. The enemy is notified that, listen here, these people belong to Jesus Christ. Now, again, I've said that for the past several weeks, we have given you a lot of information about worship-based transforming prayer. Really, it's nothing new. It's just a way of saying that we want to be closer to Jesus and be more like Him every day. But I still feel like we've got to give you a bottom line on this. And I'm not sure that I've done that yet. A line that will make this really easy to understand and kind of say, well, what's all this been about? And that is what we're going to do 2 weeks from today. Now, believe it or not, we're going to do something 2 weeks from today that maybe you've never heard. But it is so good, and it's so clear, and it brings this home and makes it easy for us to understand. We're going to learn how to pray the Papa Prayer. The Papa Prayer. P-A, Papa. Some people call it Daddy Papa. We're going to call this the Papa Prayer. And when you see what it is, you'll see what we've been talking about for these past several weeks as we are moving toward being a more praying, more prayerful church, a church that builds disciples, and a church that is ready for the onslaught of the enemy because we're more like Jesus. Now, next Sunday, of course, we have communion. So 2 weeks from today, the Papa-based prayer, which will help us understand this. I think there will be one more sermon also that I think we really need to do on praying in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of confusion about that, and I hope to straighten a lot of that up. And then after that, this is Lord willing, folks. You know, you make all these plans for the future. This is Lord willing. At this age, you have to say Lord willing. Hopefully, Lord willing. But we're going to look at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and why we think it's near. So that's where we're going after that. I felt compelled to do that. Matt and I have talked about, you know, our preaching plans, and that's where I'd like to go and probably take us all the way up to the Thanksgiving season about what's going on that makes us think that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And so really this praying that we're teaching you about now is praying that we need to be doing if He's coming soon, so that we'll be so close to Him that, you know, our hearts are ready for Him.